Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I will be reviewing 1987's Adventures in Babysitting. Hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm going to be talking about Adventures in Babysitting in a little while, but before I get into that, I gotta talk about this Godzilla vs. Kong trailer. I just got finished watching it, like, again before I did this show. Like, I've been, like, totally obsessed with this trailer ever since I saw it yesterday, because I saw it yesterday. They sprung it on me, man. Just like, they sprung the goddamn trailer on me out of nowhere. I was scrolling through my timeline. I was just scrolling through YouTube, I remember. And I was just like, wait, there's a Kong trailer out. A Kong versus Godzilla trailer out. And I was like, gotta watch this. So I watched it and I was like, this looks so fucking dope. It looks so dope. I'm so excited for this movie. And I love Godzilla, but let me say, I love Godzilla more than I love King Kong. I've never really been a King Kong guy. I was never a fan of that, and I wasn't a fan of any of the other King Kongs. I know there was one in 76 with Jeff Bridges and what's her name? Faye Dunaway? Was it Faye Dunaway? No, it wasn't Faye Dunaway. It was Jessica Lange. It was Jessica Lange and Jeff Bridges. They were in the 1976 King Kong. I know they did another King Kong in 2004 or 2005. With Jack Black and Adrian Brody and who's that chick? Was it Naomi Watts? I think it was Naomi Watts as the Faye Ray character. I think that was her. But yeah, I was like not a fan of those, and I didn't watch all of Kong Skull Island. It looks promising, but I probably gotta go back and watch that. Never been a fucking King Kong fan. Like, this is the first time I'm like, dude, King Kong look dope. You know? I remember the original King Kong versus Godzilla, and that looked fake as fuck. But I love it. I love how cheesy that old Godzilla King Kong was. All the Godzilla movies were fucking cheesy, and I love them for it. And that's the problem. That's the problem with the new Godzilla movies, which I haven't seen those either. I haven't seen the first, the 2014 Godzilla. I heard a lot of people say that shit's boring and Godzilla doesn't show up until like the fucking end. I heard Godzilla King of the Monsters is okay. I probably gotta go back and watch that at least. I probably skipped the first Godzilla and watch King of the Monsters. Cause you got him, you got Rodan, you got King Ghidorah or however you say his name. I think you got Mothra, and Mothra's in there too. But King Ghidorah, that's my dude, man. Let me some King Ghidorah. He got three heads and he be shooting that fucking lightning and shit. This shit's dope. But Godzilla's dope too. What was I saying? Oh, okay. I lost my train of thought there. But yeah, man, I haven't seen any of those movies leading up to this. I'm probably gonna go back and watch Godzilla King of the Monsters. I'm probably gonna go back and watch Kong Skull Island. Cause I heard a lot of people say that Kong Skull Island is actually just fun. I heard that movie's a lot of fun. King of the Monsters, they said that it's good when the monsters are fighting. But, and like, yeah, I'm like, that was the problem. I think that was the problem with the Godzilla movies, man. They take the Godzilla movies too fucking seriously. They take it too goddamn seriously. It's a fucking giant lizard, bro. fucking giant lizard. What's serious about this? I think they think that if the actors, because they do that a lot. They do that a lot now with like fantasy properties, with like superhero properties, monster movies, everything. You know, like if the people in the movie don't take it seriously, nobody in the theater is gonna take it seriously. Like if it's cheesy, the people in the theater is gonna think it's cheesy. And no, people watch Fast and the Furious movies and take that shit seriously. People watch Fast and the Furious movies, dude. Just fucking saying. And like that shit is cheesy as hell and people fucking enjoy it. People fucking enjoy the fuck out of Fast and the Furious movies. So like, why not take that same approach with Godzilla? Just make a fun ass Godzilla movie. And I think that's what they're gonna do here. I think they're gonna make a fun ass Godzilla movie. With the dialogue in this movie, I'm a little skeptical, cause like they always got like these Godzilla movies have just been taken too fucking seriously. You know, the trailer helped it be fun, cause they had that high impulse music, like it's just like it, dude rapping and shit, and like they're showing fucking Kong and Godzilla just going at it, just fucking throwing bows and shit. It looks dope. There's a lot of rumors. I don't know if I want to get into those rumors or not, but there's a big rumor saying that Mechagodzilla. I could see that coming from a mile away. They're saying that Mechagodzilla is gonna be in here. They're even saying that Mechagodzilla is who King Kong's been fighting this whole time, because there is a Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla where like they thought that Godzilla was trashing the city and they don't know why, and Mechagodzilla. And it was Godzilla. It was Mechagodzilla disguised as Godzilla. That's what it was. And then Godzilla had to go in and like Godzilla was pretty much like, you besmirching my name, nigga. You out here pretending to be me, motherfucker. he was pretty much going off on him. Another character. I'm just gonna jump into it because there's certain characters I want to see in here. I would like to see Mothra. I don't know if he killed. I would like to see Mecha King Ghidorah. Mecha King Ghidorah would be dope. I would love to see Jet Jaguar. They should go. If they want to go all in on Godzilla, I'm hearing a lot of rumors that this might be the last one because the other ones didn't do well. I think like King of the Monsters did terribly. I think I heard, but if they want to go all in, man, I want to see fucking Jet Jaguar, bro. Jet Jaguar is my dude. He's like Ultraman. And what's that dude with the superhuman samurai? Cyber Squad dude. What's his name? Anybody remember that show back in the day? Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad? With Joey Lawrence's little brother? Yeah, like he played this character. It was kind of like Ultraman. He would go into the computer. And I think in Japan it's called Gridman. But like he would go into the computer and fight these monsters, and it was dope as shit. It was dope as fuck, and like that's what Jet Jaguar is. Jet Jaguar is kind of like that. He would like grow and like fight the monsters with Godzilla and shit. You know, like Jet Jaguar is dope. Every time Jet Jaguar showed up in a Godzilla movie, I remember when I was a kid. Every time Jet Jaguar would show up in a Godzilla movie, I would just sit there and fucking watch. Don't bother me for shit. My parents are like, no, watch it, Godzilla. No, you know, don't leave me alone. But I would fucking cry when I could watch Jet Jaguar. I'm like, no, I want to watch Jet Jaguar. But you know, Jet Jaguar is fucking dope. But I love fucking Jet Jaguar. If they put Jet Jaguar in a movie, in a Godzilla movie, I'm like, take my motherfucking money, nigga. Love me some Jet Jaguar. But justice for Jet Jaguar. I want to see it. But yeah, there's a lot of rumors saying that Mechagodzilla. I like me some Mechagodzilla, dude. Mechagodzilla's kind of fucking dope. He's like Dragonzord. Every time I look at that Dragonzord on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, he looked like fucking Mechagodzilla to me. I was like, shit, just Mechagodzilla. You like Dragonzord. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this. I am looking forward to this. Can't wait. Can't wait to see Godzilla versus Kong. I gotta watch King of the Monsters and Skull Island first before I watch these. Those should be on HBO Max. I could probably just go and watch those. You know, I got HBO Max. I can just probably go back and like just fucking watch those. I'll probably make a day out of it. Just go watch King of the Monsters and watch Skull Island. Probably come back with a mini review. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll see. Also watched WandaVision episode 3 this past weekend. I want to say I liked episode 1 and I liked episode 2. Those were good episodes, but episode 3 gave me a lot more fan service than episode 1 and episode 2, and it gave me a lot more story. Episode 3 is when the shit gets real, really. Because you got Vision and you got Wanda. It's her name, Wanda Vision. I'm like, Wanda. You got Vision and Wanda. Wanda gets pregnant out of nowhere. And they still do it, like, they still do the sitcom stuff. You know, they still do that. Where it's like, oh, it's a sitcom. I think they're in, like, the 70s now. This is either like the late 60s, early 70s. I want to say this looks like from like 1968 to like 1971. I want to say, because everybody's got afros and mutton chops and shit, you know. So this is like from 68. This is between 68 to 71, but maybe even 72. But yeah. But like, so they're doing like the 70s stuff. It looks like they were doing Brady Bunch this time, and a lot more info in this episode than in episode 3 than in episode 1 and episode 2. Cuz episode 2 they did like the whole magic shit, the magician shit, and you got like little tidbits of what's going on. Episode 1, you know, like, you got like one tidbit of what's going on, but this one is like, oh shit. Cause like I said, Wanda gets pregnant. She has her son, she has her twins, Tommy and what's my boy name? Billy, who are Wiccan and Speed, her sons. If you read Marvel Comics, you know that Vision and Wanda have sons named Tommy and Billy. And their code names are Wicked and Speed. And they join the Young Avengers later on in life. You know about that. And Wicked is like kind of like one of the first openly gay superheroes. Because Wicked is gay. And he has a relationship with Hulkling. Who is like a Kree Skrull hybrid. They're both on the Young Avengers together. And he chose to, like, Hulkling chose to look like the Hulk. He's a Kree / Skrull hybrid, but like they're in like a homosexual relationship together, and they're like the first. Well, they're not the first, because I think they did that shit in The Authority. If you remember that old comic book from like the late 90s, The Authority, it was what's that character, Midnight, and what's the other dude? I forgot his goddamn name, but like they were kind of like the first openly gay superhero couple. But I guess they could be like the Wiccan and Hulkling are like the first openly gay teenage superhero couple, I guess. I don't know. But, you know. But anyway. That has to hurt, though. Like Hulkling better be the bottom. You know, like, Hulkling smashed that ass. You know what I'm saying? But, his booty hole, Wicked booty hole, gotta hurt. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, you get a lot more information in this one. Monica Rambeau shows up again as the fake character Geraldine. She's helping Wanda with her pregnancy and stuff. They have the kids. We get our first mention of Quicksilver in a long fucking time. We get our first mention of Quicksilver. We get a first mention of Ultron in a while. You know, a lot of fan service, because we get Speed and we get Wiccan as babies. And we get a mention of Ultron. We get a mention of Quicksilver. And Monica Rambeau is starting to come to her senses of who she is. And just watch the episode, man. It's good. We get a little bit more information about what's going on. At the end, we get a mention of sword. I forgot about that. We get a mention of sword because Monica Rambeau is wearing a sword medallion around her neck. She's wearing like a necklace with the sword symbol on it. And so I don't know if like Nick Fury's involved in this, you know, with sword. Where like he's, I don't know if that's him trying to get to Wanda. That's what you hear, like, Wanda, come in, Wanda, because you keep hearing like feedback, like you hear like radio feedback and somebody saying, Wanda, come in, Wanda, Wanda, can you hear me, Wanda, you know, like, you know. So like I'm interested though. I'm like, I know like this is probably some people that's like, oh man, this show too slow. This show is too slow. They take it too much time. I want them to get to the shit. They're getting to it slowly. There's like what, 5 episodes to go, I wanna say. Yeah, it's like 6 episodes to go. There's 6 episodes to go. Like, we gonna get to it. You just gotta be patient. They're doing it weekly. You gotta be patient. But yeah. That's it. That's pretty much all I got this week. I'll be back with my review of Adventures in Babysitting after these messages. Today's episode is brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics is the world's largest collection of official fan gear from all the leagues, teams, and players you love. If you enjoy our show and are looking to buy a new jersey, sweatshirt, or hat, you can support us by going to podgo.co/fanatics and get 25% off your next order. That's podgo.co/fanatics. Fanatics, officially licensed everything. Alright guys, welcome back to the show. Adventures in Babysitting, 1987. You know, I like to start it off how I saw it as a kid. I believe I saw this movie on HBO. I want to say I saw it on HBO. I know I didn't see it in the theater because 1987, I was 2 years old. So there's no way. If I did see it in the theater, I don't fucking remember it. But yeah, man, this was one of my favorite movies growing up, man. I remember watching this movie a lot. Every time Adventures in Babysitting would come on, I would just sit down and watch it. You know, there's sometimes it would come on regular television. It would be on, like, we had in New Orleans, we had like channel 26, and we had channel 38. Back in the day, in like the early 90s. So like, and like on Saturdays and Sundays, they would just play like old movies, mostly 80s movies. They would play like old movies from the 80s and the 70s, you know. So like, I used to watch a lot of those movies, and Adventures of Babysitting was one of those movies. So like, a lot of movies from the 80s that I'm probably going to review are gonna come from me watching them on like the Saturday afternoon movies from like channel 26 or channel 38, Sunday movies from channel 38, you know, because like I used to sit there and watch those movies. It was like, cause like there was like, especially on Sunday ain't shit to do, you know. Like, I'll just sit there and like watch those movies like all fucking day, you know like I was like a nerdy kid, you know. Like, I didn't have a lot of friends, you know. So like, pretty much the TV was my friend, you know. Like, the TV was my friend, And I would just sit there and just watch fucking movies all day. You know, my wife talks about this. My wife tells me about this shit because I told her about a commercial last night that I fucking remembered from like 1996 that probably nobody else remembers. And she was like, "You are a goddamn pop culture fucking encyclopedia." You know, I was like, "Yeah, that's because I didn't have any fucking friends, you know, and the TV was my friend." So, what do you fucking expect? But anyway, yeah, but that's how I saw this movie. I saw this movie on television. I'm thanking HBO. I think I saw this movie on HBO at the time. But anyway, let's get into the production of this movie. The movie was directed by Chris Columbus. This is actually Chris Columbus's directorial debut. Because before this, he was a screenwriter. He wrote Gremlins. He wrote, there was something else that he wrote that I forgot, but most famously he wrote Gremlins. I remember that. The movie was written by David Simkins, who went on to write for a lot of TV. He mostly became like a TV writer after this. The budget for this movie was $7 million. And it over-delivered at the box office by bringing in $34.4 million. So this movie just over-delivered. It was a hit. It was a smash hit. $34.4 million in 1987 had to be a lot of goddamn money. You know, it had to be a lot of money. So, like, this shit over-delivered. You make $34.4 million on a movie now, they're going to say it's a fucking bomb. You make $40 million. At the box office, the fucking bomb. You better make a billion. You know, like you better make a billion at the box office now. It gotta be like 90 million. If you making it's like 70 million, I think 70 million, 80 million, 90 million, like to a billion. That's when you like a hit. Like, if you making 34.4 million, like you ain't shit. Now, you know. You ain't shit, but like it was a hit. It over delivered at the box office for 1987 times, and that standard. It has a Rotten Tomato score of 72%, which I think is too low. I really think that's too low. I think it should at least be like an 80, 85. I mean, like it ain't. I'm not gonna say it's the best movie of all time. I'll at least give it like an 80 to an 85, but 72% is too low. I don't know who's giving out these fucking ratings, you know? I don't know who's giving out these goddamn ratings, but, like, it got a score 72, and I'm like, bullshit. But anyway, let's get into the cast. Elizabeth Shue was cast as the lead character, Chris Parker. But before she was cast, the studio actually wanted Molly Ringwald, who was hot shit. At the time, man, when she was like one of the hottest young actresses at the time, man. Like she was in every fucking thing. And this is after she got I think she got fired from the Facts of Life. She was originally on the Facts of Life, and she got fired, and she went on to have like a hell of a goddamn movie career. She was just popping them out. Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club. What's the other one? 16 Candles. Like she was popping them out, you know. That's her big like three, though, like Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, and 16 Candles. That's her big one. But like the studio wanted Molly Ringwald. Most likely she was busy at the time, because like I said, she was the hottest fucking actress in Hollywood. Everybody wanted Molly Ringwald, so like they couldn't get her. Valerie Bertinelli actually auditioned for the role also. If you don't know who Valerie Bertinelli is, she's Eddie Van Halen's ex-wife. She was Eddie Van Halen's wife at the time. Mother of Wolfgang. Yes, she's the mother of Wolfgang. And so she auditioned for the role, and she didn't get it. Elizabeth Shue got the lead role. Keith Coogan, Anthony Rapp, Maya Bruton, Penelope Ann Miller, Bradley Whitford, Kelvin Levels, George Newbern, Ron Canada, and Vincent D'Onofrio round out the rest of the cast. Let's talk about this movie. Let's talk about this movie and the characters in this movie and the acting performances of this movie, shall we? first off, I want to say this is a movie that you have to watch with 80s eyes, because there's a lot of shit in this movie like that would not fly in today's society. Because if you want to rip this movie down, if you want to tear this movie down to its core, if you want to tear this movie down to the fucking just crust of the motherfucker, if you want to tear it down to the crust of the motherfucker, this is basically a movie about four kids going into the inner city, being frightened of blacks and Latinos. That's basically what it is. You're like, they're going into the inner city and being frightened by blacks and Latinos. That's the basic premise of the whole goddamn movie. Like I said, let's talk about performances. Elizabeth Shue is very middle of the road here as Chris, the babysitter. But I've always thought that Elizabeth Shue has always been a very mediocre actress. Like, I've always thought that about Elizabeth Shue. I'm like, every time I see Elizabeth Shue, I'm like, she's so fucking mediocre. Sometimes I forget that she even exists. No bullshit. Sometimes I forget that Elizabeth Shue fucking exists until I see her on screen. I'm like, oh yeah, Elizabeth Shue. And she's been in some fucking iconic movies. She was in The Karate Kid. She was in the Back to the Future movies. There was something else she was in. She was in Cocktail. She's in Cocktail with Tom Cruise. She's been nominated for an Academy Award. You may know her for The Boys. She's, what's her name from The Boys? I forgot her goddamn name. But like the PR person. She's the PR person for The Boys. You may know her as that character. Because, like I said, I talked about The Boys. I don't really watch The fucking Boys. You know, I'm like, it's just not my thing. I'm sorry. Don't send Homelander over to shoot me out of the sky or whatever the fuck. But anyway, but anyway, yeah, man, she's been in some iconic roles, but she does not fucking stand out. Elizabeth Shue has never fucking stand out to me. She's never stood out. Like, she looks like every other generic blonde white woman in the fucking business. She looks like every other generic blonde white woman in the business. Like, she's never did something to be like, oh, I remember Elizabeth Shue. It's just like, every time I see Elizabeth Shue, I'm like, oh, there's Elizabeth Shue. Okay, Hollow Man. She was in fucking Hollow Man. I love Hollow Man. And like, she's like one of the main characters in Hollow Man. I wouldn't remember, but you know, but anyway, yeah, she's just black as Chris. Keith Coogan is serviceable as Brad, who he's a young teenager who has a crush on Chris. Keith Coogan is a guy that really didn't go on to do a lot that was noticeable. I mean, like, I looked up his IMDb. He's done stuff, but he hasn't done anything that stood out. And, like, he's really gone on to be one of those Where Are They Now actors, you know, which is sad because, like, I feel like he had a lot of promise. Like, he's not bad in this movie. He's serviceable. You know, like, I could see him being, like a character actor, at least. You know, one of those guys that, like, went on to be a character actor. You know, who's a good character actor? Like a Buscemi. Steve Buscemi's kind of like a character actor. He could have been like Steve Buscemi. You know, he could have been like him. Like, that guy's playing all types of fucking characters. Let's move on. Anthony Rapp is hilarious. Is Daryl. He's Brad's best friend. And like, he's your basic run-of-the-mill horny teenager, but he's funny at it. He's really funny. He had some lines in there that actually cracked me up. The actor though, he's gone on to like have a hell of a career as an adult. A hell of a career. Like, he's done a lot of TV, he's done a lot of movies, he's done Broadway, he's in Rent. You know, like, he's in Rent. He's one of the characters in Rent. So, like, he's got that claim to fame. He also is the guy that outed Kevin Spacey. He's the guy that outed Kevin Spacey because he said Kevin Spacey tried to sexually assault him, I believe. Like he said, he tried to sexually assault him. But yeah, he's that dude. So like, it's an elephant in the room. I gotta mention it. You know, I wasn't trying to put nobody business out there, but it's the elephant in the room that this is the dude that outed Kevin Spacey. That ruined Kevin Spacey's career, but it needed to be ruined because he's a fucking creep. So anyway, moving on. Maya Bruton plays Sarah, Brad's little sister. This is a young actress that I wish we could have gotten more of. You know, because she is very good. She is very, very good in this movie for her age. I want to say she's like 10 years old. She's got to be 10 years old here. And she's like one of my favorite parts of the movie. She's one of my favorite parts of the movie as a kid. I thought as I grew up that the brother would be my favorite character, Keith Coogan's character, or even Elizabeth Shue's character would be my favorite character in this movie. But no, it's still Sarah. Sarah is a great character. She's one of my favorite parts of this goddamn movie. And she was repping Thor before it was cool. Before Chris Hemsworth played Thor and made Thor cool, it was Sarah from Adventures in Babysitting making Thor cool. And she was repping the shit out of Thor. She had the hammer. You go in her room. Her room is just like all Thor. You go in her room, it's all Thor. So she got Thor. She got Thor posters. She got Thor comic books. She got like a cardboard cutout of Thor. I think she got a cardboard cutout of Thor. She wears the helmet. She got Mjolnir. I was like, she was repping Thor before it was even fucking cool. And like, kudos to her. She get my respect. But anyway, now there's also a lot of side characters in this movie as well. The kids run into a carjacker named Joe Gipp, played by Kelvin Levels. And Joe Gipp is a carjacker with a heart of gold, which I took issue with. I take issues with Joe Gipp as a black man. Me, personally, as a black man, I take issues with Joe Gipp because I felt like Joe Gipp was like the token black character that white people could say, all black people aren't that bad. You know, like they could look at him and just be like, you know what? Like, yeah, he helped those kids out in Adventures in Babysitting. Like, all black people ain't that bad. You're like, he was the helpful Negro. He was the magical Negro, you might say. Like, Joe Gipp, he even has a magical Negro name. He even has a magical Negro name. His name is Joe Gipp. You ran into a nigga named Joe Gipp. You ran into him. Like, I'm thinking about this shit right now. Like, they ran into a nigga named Joe Gipp, who's a carjacker with a heart of gold. Get this. Oh my God, I told you. I like, there's a lot of shit in this movie that's problematic. It, like, it's shit that would not be tolerated today. You know? But Joe Gipp works for like these like generic ass villains, played by John Chandler and Ron Canada. My man Ron Canada. Ron Canada is a very well respected character actor. Ron Canada, if you need a black cop, if you need like an old black cop or an old black judge, or a black father that doesn't approve of his girlfriend, not girlfriend, doesn't approve of his daughter's boyfriend, call Ron Canada. Good old Ron Canada. Because that's when he gets typecast as. You know, like, he's either playing a black cop, a black detective, a black judge, or a father that doesn't approve of his daughter's boyfriend. You're like, that's what he does. That's what he does best. He's like, what can you give my daughter? What can you offer her? You know, like, that's Ron Canada. Or he's like, you're out of order, or whatever the fuck judges say. But you know, I've never been in a courtroom before. I got jury duty one time and I got out of it, you know, because they settled the case. So I never really been in a courtroom before. So, and I don't plan to be in one. Hopefully, knock on wood. But anyway, in a weird way, this movie is kind of a video game movie, because the kids are, they're kind of on a quest to get back home, because like they go to the city, because originally they go to the city to pick up Penelope Ann Miller's character, because she runs away from home. As I think, she runs away from home. Chris is her best friend, and Chris has to go and get her. She takes the kids with her. She doesn't want to take the kids with her, but she takes the kids with her. The tire goes out. They're lost in Chicago, the inner city of Chicago, probably like the south side of Chicago, I think. I don't know. But, but yeah, so like it's pretty much a quest of them getting back home, and they run into a lot of side characters that help them on their way to getting back home. Like I said, Penelope Ann Miller's in this movie as Chris's best friend, Brenda. She's really fucking annoying. I'm sorry. You know, she's so goddamn annoying, but it's funny. Yeah, because like she's at the train station or the bus station, and like she's running into all these people. She's running into homeless people. She's running into like there was like this homeless lady that stole her glasses. There's this dude harassing people with a goddamn revolver. Like, got like a snub nose revolver in the bus station, and he's threatening to like fucking shoot people. Yeah, I know that got dark, right? And she runs into it, like she's like she got a rat. She runs into rats and all this shit, and it's funny. It's, she's annoying, but like, the situations that she gets put in, they're fucking funny. Another person that's in this movie is Bradley Whitford. You may know him as the dad from Get Out, but he plays Mike, Chris's boyfriend, who looks way older than her. That was like a trend in the 80s, where like you had like these young girls that date dudes that look like they're fucking 30. Because I'm talking about that in Just One of the Guys. Where, like, and they gotta make them 17. They gotta make the girl 17 so it's not borderline pedophilic. You know, it's not borderline statutory rape. You know, because the character from Just One of the Guys, she was 17 and her boyfriend was in college. But that motherfucker looked like he was like 35. You know, like, he looked more 35 than I do. You know, I say I did. But yeah, he looked more 35 years old than I do. You know, like people don't even think I'm 35. They think I'm like 25 or something. I don't get it. But yeah. Anyway, Bradley Whitford plays Mike, Chris's boyfriend. He turns out to be a douchebag. We got George Newbern in this movie. If that name doesn't sound familiar, he is the voice of Superman now. From Justice League on, because at first Tim Daly was the voice of 90s Superman, but George Newbern is now the voice of Superman. And he's in here. He's in this movie looking like Paul Rudd. Dead ass, I thought that was Paul Rudd. No bullshit. I was like, is that Paul Rudd? I was like, Paul Rudd was in this movie? I know Paul Rudd's like in his 50s. But I was like, I didn't know that he was doing it this long. But it wasn't Paul Rudd. It was George Newbern. You go back and look at young George Newbern, and you're going to think that's Paul Rudd. You're going to think it's Paul Rudd. He looks like Paul Rudd. Has all the mannerisms of Paul Rudd, even sounds like Paul Rudd. You would think that this was Paul Rudd, but it's not. It's George Newbern. But anyway, also, a young Vincent D'Onofrio has a cameo in this movie. He plays Dawson, who owns a mechanic. He's a mechanic. He's a mechanic. And young Sarah mistakes Dawson for Thor. Vincent D'Onofrio does not look like what he looked like today. You know, he was actually in shape. He had long flowing blonde hair. Like, he was a good looking cat. Pause. He was a good looking cat. But yeah, he has a small cameo in this movie. Like, he's in this movie for at least like 5 minutes. He's like one scene. That's it. But overall, I enjoyed this movie. I thought this movie was still fun. Does it have its flaws? Yes, it has flaws, like the whole racial thing. You know, I really can't get over that. I can't get over the whole race thing. But like, it's pretty much like kids that are afraid of black and Latinos. That's pretty much what this movie is. Like, you break it down to the crust. Like, they're running around the city afraid of blacks and Latinos. There's this, like, really... There's these two really corny-ass gangs. They're like, say, brother, you about to get fucked up by the lords of the underground or whatever the fuck, you know? And I was like, dude, this is so fucking cringe. It's so cringe. I hate it. It's like, oh god. But and then like the Chris gets involved and he's like, hey, you don't fuck with the babysitter, and like all of a sudden these like hard-hearted gangsters back off because a little white lady is in their face. What the fuck? But anyway, oh yeah, one other thing. I found out that there was a remake of this movie in 2016. I heard that they were trying to remake this since 2012. They had Raven Simone attached. Then they had Miley Cyrus attached. So they've been trying to do it for a while. They finally got it done in 2016 with a whole new cast and none of the characters from the 80s version. Like, it had nothing to do. It's not even like a follow-up to the 87 movie. Like, none of the characters in there, nothing. It's just a whole new Adventures in Babysitting. It's like, nothing to do with the original one. Like, none of the characters are in there, nothing. And I hate this. I hate when Hollywood does this. I really do. I hate when Hollywood, they take a property from the 80s and like they just make it like a whole entire story. Because what they do is they have a script. People write scripts. They have a script and they're not very confident in the script. So they slap like a proven commodity's name on it. Like, Adventures in Babysitting, Jim and the Holograms, The Craft, you know, Ghostbusters, you know, like, they do shit like that, and it was like, oh, you want to go see it, and everybody's like, nah, I ain't gonna see that trash, because this ain't got nothing to do with the 80s version, this ain't got nothing to do with the previous version, you know, and they try to throw, what they try to do, they try to throw in a little fan service, you know. Try to throw in a little fucking fan service. So you'd be like, oh, I know that. Oh, it's not that bad. They threw in this from the original. You know, but it's, nah. It's just, you don't have faith in the goddamn script you wrote, and you want to slap a name on there so people will go and fucking see it. And it fails every fucking time. They did this with The Craft recently. It fails every fucking time. You know, like nobody went to go see that Craft movie. A lot of people say that Craft movie is fucking god-awful. It should never have been made. You know? It should never have been fucking made. It's like, have confidence. Have faith that something's gonna work. But everybody wants franchise. Everybody wants franchises. It's not even about actors anymore. It's not even about stories anymore. It's about franchise. Can we make a franchise out of it? Can this be a franchise? Can we bring this back and reboot it into another franchise? You know, bullshit. It's all fucking bullshit. And I'm going to step off my soapbox right now. Still enjoyed the movie, by the way. Still enjoyed the movie. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Next week, I'm a little torn about what I want to review. Because I got Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead on the docket. But I also want to watch Spice World for some reason. I'll probably put up a poll. I'm probably going to put up a poll on my Facebook and on my Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at I Watch This As an Adult. So you can pick out of the two. I usually do Viewer's Choice in September, but I'm torn between these two movies. I want to do Spice World But I also want to do Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. But I also did another babysitter movie with Keith Coogan. Keith Coogan's in both these babysitter movies. You know, he's in Adventures in Babysitting and he's in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. You know, so like I'm confused. I don't want to do two back-to-back babysitter movies with Keith Coogan in them. So, and if I could find Spice World, I'll do Spice World. So, it's up in the air. It's up in the air this week because I really want to do Spice World now. Because I don't want to do the same thing back to back. Like, because it's pretty much kind of like the same fucking movie. But, yeah, I think I'm going to do Spice World. If I could find Spice World, we're doing Spice World. If I can't, I'm doing Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. So, just be on the lookout. Catch you guys later. Peace.